Welcome to this special edition of the Fresh Take Podcast brought to you by Craig's Power Equipment. I'm being joined today by the host of ESPN's College Game Day, Reese Davis. Before we get to Reese, let me tell you about Craig's Power Equipment because it's getting pretty chilly outside and now's the time to start thinking about snow. And Craig's Power Equipment is helping you prepare for it with great deals on Toro and Honda snow blowers, Boston Snow X plows and spreaders, Oryx stand on and walk behind plows, and we now carry Balmalite mini skid steers. Already have snow equipment, now's the time to get it in to Craig's for service. Box store and the internet are not always cheaper, and at Craig's Power Equipment, all purchases are serviced on site and ready to go. Craig's Power Equipment, Wasatch at Vermajo in Colorado Springs.
Beautiful day, ain't it?
Yes, sir.
I'm minding my own business, watching some film, trying to get ready, trying to get out here and be the best coach I could be. And I look up and I read some bull junk that Dan said about us.
Talk to us.
Once again.
Talk to us.
Why would you want to talk about us when we don't talk about nobody? All we do is go out here, work our butts off, and do our job on Saturday. Yes, but when they give us ammunition, they unmessed around and made it what? It was just going to be a good game. They unmessed around and made it.
Personal.
It was going to be a great test, a battle of Colorado, but they unmessed around and made it.
Personal.
Welcome to the Fresh Take Podcast, a special edition brought to you by Craig's Power Equipment on the corner of Wasatch and Vermajo in Colorado Springs. And we have a very special guest joining us from Boulder. It is none other than the host of College Game Day, Reese Davis. Reese, welcome, and how are you today?
I'm doing great. How are you?
We're doing fantastic. First off, I want to start with Prime Mania. Are you surprised in the way that Coach Prime has really just taken over the world of college football?
I'm surprised it's happened so quickly. I didn't have any doubt that he could be successful here and that they would eventually be successful. And in the off season, what I said was that I felt as if they would be the type of team that improved over the course of the season and probably clipped a team or two that you wouldn't expect them to later on as they improved. The fact that they have come together as quickly as they have has been nothing short of remarkable to me. When you bring in the number of new players, when you have a completely new staff, when they're not familiar with with all of the surroundings, and yet they come in and play at the level at which they have so far. That's been really the most impressive thing. I think the speed with which they put things together. Now, there are much bigger tests ahead, for sure.
Right.
And I think no one around the program would suggest that they're a finished product. But they certainly have already made gargantuan strides forward, which really bodes well for the rest of this season and the future.
Just looking at the landscape of college football, what Coach Prime did with the transfer portal, bringing in the 50-plus players out the portal, plus what he did bringing kids out of the high school ranks, how does that change college football, and how does it change the coaching industry, and how ADs and presidents, and more importantly, the boosters deal with patience in building a program?
It's a good question, particularly about the patience. I think the idea of the five-year program overhaul is a relic of the past and not something that most power programs are going to be patient enough to do anymore. Now, you have to have some patience. You have to let a staff, if you have constant change and constant upheaval, then you are diminishing your chances for success. But you have to show progress along the way. And I think the best thing that has happened for Dion in this program is it hasn't taken them very long to show progress. This is night and day compared to the way Colorado looked last year, really the last couple of years. So the improvement has been immediate. I think that almost every program is going to embrace the transfer portal to some degree. It depends on where you are and what the values of your program are. Talking to Kirby Smart in the offseason, Georgia reached out and got a couple of receivers in the transfer portal. They also, checked into a few other guys here and there. But Georgia's philosophy is what they strive for, is batting 850, an 85% retention rate among their recruiting classes, which means that they are certainly looking for the elite players, but they're also looking for the players who fit with what they've built at Georgia and want to be a part of that. The reason I use that example is because Georgia is going to be less inclined to have a big roster turnover as opposed to Colorado, which really hasn't won at a very high level in a long time, eager to make some kind of statement. Same thing with USC, which was eager to win immediately. I think as you go forward, you might see USC use the portal less and less. And perhaps there will come a day in the next few years when Colorado doesn't go complete overhaul with the roster. And I'm sure that will be the case in this offseason. So it really depends on your circumstance and where you are. But I think for the most part, most programs are going to have to embrace it. And, you know, the difficulty will be that programs like that are in the Mid-American Conference, maybe in the Mountain West, certainly, you know, in the Sun Belt or Conference USA, they're probably going to have to learn to adapt and live with their players moving up. And while it offends the sensibilities of some, it's not unlike a player, you know, playing double-A baseball and getting called up to triple-A or the big leagues. It, you know, that's sort of the way athletics works. And then you have to find somebody to backfill it. And I know that that really aggravates coaches at that level, but I think it's sort of the direction in which we're headed right now.
Let's talk about
if we're not already there.
Mm-hmm. Let's talk about Travis Hunter and Shedeur Sanders. I know you guys, you took your show last season down to Jackson when Jackson State played my Southern Jaguars and beat up on the Jaguars. But the Human Jukebox won the halftime show, Reese. But
they're undefeated in that regard.
Yes,
they
are. The Human Jukebox has never lost. but should fans be surprised at the quick transition that both Travis, especially Travis, because he really didn't play a lot. He only played in like four or five games due to injury last season. And the transition Shedeur, both of those guys have made to the FBS Power 5 level.
I had seen Shedeur on tape and watched games on television, and I stayed and watched the most of that game on that Saturday. And, you know, he's a very smart, seasoned, poised quarterback. But last year, at least in the game that I saw, I didn't see him push the ball downfield as effectively as he has this year. I wasn't one to say that he couldn't do it. I just hadn't seen a lot of it, you know. And some of the throws he's made this year have been really, really impressive. The best thing that he has done is he's gotten hit a lot. He's gotten sacked and he's gotten pressured a lot, and he leads the country in completions while under duress. That shows a poised leader at quarterback and a guy who understands what's going on in the offense around him. He buys time very well. So from that standpoint, he has exceeded expectations. I would say based on Travis's reputation, and I know you're right about the limited time he had because of some injuries, I'm not terribly surprised that he's playing well.
Mm-hmm.
I am surprised that he can play at the level he does for 196 snaps a game or whatever he's doing. That is stunning. And not because you underestimated him, just because, you know, you think he's a human being. I mean, even the guys who've gone two ways in the last 25 years, you know, Chris Gamble at Ohio State, Woodson did a little bit, but he wasn't a true two-way player. Champ Bailey, you know, at Georgia did a good bit of that too. No one has done it to the level that Travis has done it and done it as exceptionally well. I'll tell you, I was talking to a couple of their assistant coaches who were at Alabama, and when they watched him, and this is like even before, they were raving about, you know, he's like as elite and as gifted as any, you know, and as instinctive and as good as any defensive back that they had had over the years there. But when they said also when he went to offense, they started invoking names like Julio Jones, Devontae Smith, and Jerry Jeudy.
Wow.
You know, that's, you know, saying this dude is it, you know. And so from that standpoint, I'm not surprised he's playing well. The only thing that has surprised me at all is the fact that he has played virtually every snap on both sides.
Now, my final question, CSU head coach Jay Norville, he really stepped in it, I guess, and now he's made it personal with Coach Prime. Where are your thoughts on that?
A little bit different than some. I didn't think it was that big a deal, mm-hmm. And here's why. When a coach goes in, he's talking to one of three groups. He's either talking to the media, he's talking to his fans, or he's talking to his players. He was talking to his players. I know he said he didn't care if they heard it in Boulder or whatever, but he was sending a message to his players. We're 24-point underdogs or whatever. All of the attention is on them, and we are not going in scared or intimidated. We're going to do us. We're going to, go in there and represent what we believe in. Now, is it a curious thing to, you know, go the hat and glasses route? Okay. But I think there was probably a little bit of tongue-in-cheek there with Jay, and I think he was mostly talking to his players and saying, you know, we're not intimidated, we're not afraid, and we don't care how much attention they get, you know, or how much of the it team they are at the moment, we're coming to play. And if you look at it from a different standpoint, okay, so they're 24-point underdogs, so now if Colorado gets mad, now they're going to beat them by 34? I mean, you know, how much worse is that, really? You know, so they don't have a single thing to lose, and I don't think that this is a deal where, you know, maybe they got Colorado's attention, but they probably had it anyway. I mean, it's only been two games. I'm not sure that Colorado, even as good as they've looked, are they really in position to take anybody for granted? You know, so I didn't think it was that big a deal. I thought Jay was talking to his players, you know, indirectly and saying, hey, we're going to go in and not be afraid.
Reese Davis, the host of College Game Day. Join the guys tomorrow morning over on ESPN live from the CU business field, previewing CU and CSU and all of the rest of the action around the college football world. And Reese, I know tomorrow you guys are going to have a special milestone with Coach Corso. He'll be making his 400th. Headgear selection tomorrow. Really looking forward to it. And thank you so much for joining us.
You bet, Justin. Always a pleasure.